The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to another edition of Mission Minded. He is Michael Coleman. He is the CEO of the Montgomery Area Food Bank. And by the way, we're going to be doing a brand new show with the Montgomery Food Bank coming up in the next few weeks. We're really excited about that. And Michael, of course, along with the Montgomery Food Bank, they cover 35 counties in the great state of Alabama. This is Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission on your mind. We started the show, Michael, what, a couple of years ago, I guess, or about a year and a half ago. We were talking about non-for-profits, and then we just kind of evolved into that. The roots were planted, and then all of a sudden the branches of the trees start expanding. And today I want to get into something a little different. But first of all, how you doing? Everything good down there in South Alabama?
It is. The weather is great. I can say that usually for a few days out of each year before the humidity hits you like a ton of bricks. But right now, it's not too hot. It's a cool breeze blowing. The low humidity is perfect weather right now.
Let me ask you, that brings up an interesting point, and then we'll get into our topic today. I've been seeing where the Mississippi up in Iowa and the Illinois area is flooding right now because of the extensive snowfall we had this year. It's either drought, we have no rain or no water at all, or way too much. Yeah. And so I'm thinking, well, that's probably a good thing. And I know there are a lot of floodplains in and around the Mississippi that expect that irrigation water. But then again, a lot of farmlands are being just absolutely inundated with water. How does that affect Feeding America? And how does it affect our farmers from a very basic level? And then even from a Feeding America and a Montgomery Food Bank standpoint, when there's extensive flooding and you hear about farmlands or maybe a derecho that comes through and just blows through thousands of acres of corn, does that affect you guys at all? Do you keep an eye on that stuff? I mean, how does that affect prices, things like that?
Yeah, anything that affects the food chain ultimately affects us. We don't always feel the ripples right away. We're some of those that are down the chain. So anytime, and of course, you could have flood issues, or you could have the opposite where you have drought conditions. So, I mean, I'm always thankful for when there's rain that's coming, because I think about, even though I don't farm, I think about farmers, always have, because I've always lived in rural areas. And just, I know how much they need it, how much they appreciate it, how much our country, how much the world needs, you know, rain for the crops that we grow. But sometimes it gets so bad, rains so much, especially at certain phases of the growth, that it can actually destroy the crop or make it where it's just, you just can't harvest it. And so there's a lot of challenges, and I just have the utmost respect for the farmers who are doing it, and just really praying that they get that right balance of right amount of sun and the right amount of rain needed, because otherwise, you know, their life, livelihoods, and the effect it has on all of us all hinge on something as simple as the regularity of rainfall.
And I think the one thing, and Lord, I hope we never have to go through it again, but I thought COVID really put a really bright light on how not only does our food get processed and where it goes from meat packing plants, because people couldn't work together, but the supply chain issue. And then the Ukrainian war with the grain. I mean, we don't see it maybe on this side of the world over here, but we don't think we see it. That's the amazing thing, is we don't think we see it. We may see it in inflation. We may see it in higher prices. We don't think it really changes our world, but it really does, doesn't it?
Oh, I, there's so many different avenues. And I remember seeing the 60 Minutes, maybe 8 months ago or so, where they were showing, you know, there's issues with boating, and all the boats were out there because, or when I say all the boats, all the transport, where they're transporting oil, they're transporting grain, all these barges out there. And then they were all backed up because the trains were backed up. So there was transportation problems. And then you had drivers of trucks and, you know, and so there was just so many log jams in so many different places. It was almost difficult to know, because everybody was blaming another industry.
Yeah.
And but the world economies are so tied together. I mean, we both export food and import food. And when you have something like the Ukrainian war, and I didn't have any idea, even being in the food banking industry, understanding the effect that that grain in Ukraine would have on the world supply and our reserves and everything that gets brought up into that. And so it just, when tragedy happens or when difficult circumstances happen, it really is educates us all, enlightens us all on how tied together we really are with each other.
He's Michael Coleman. He is, of course, the CEO of the Montgomery Area Food Bank, 35 counties. They do the wonderful work, mafb.org, if you want to help them out. And of course, Tony Curry Radio, we've been with them in partnership now for over a year and a half. We got a brand new show coming up here. It's going to be awesome the next few weeks. All right, so I'm going to kind of use this one. Do you consider yourself an extrovert or introvert or somewhere in between?
I am very much an extrovert.
You're an extrovert. Okay. I consider myself an extrovert as well. And I think that's good for our business. Many, many people aren't extroverts. And so, and they're in the world of business. And sometimes they got to go out there and either drum up business or drum up some type of business encounters in order to continue to grow their business. And so I like to analogize. I'm going to take this to a dating scene. So when you go into a nightclub or restaurant or wherever, and you're free to meander around, you can kind of pick and choose. You can kind of bebop around, and then you always say, "What? Well, we really hit it off. We really hit it off. We had so much in common. You know, we really saw, you know, a meaningful conversation, and it was just a wonderful thing." But when you're sitting down with somebody and you desperately need their business or you want their business, and you have no clue who you're dealing with, there are some different ways for us to actually help us have successful business encounters and or conversations with these people. And this is from a Forbes magazine thing, but I want to get some of your thoughts because something you brought up in the past that I thought was really interesting, and this is just it epitomizes just a great boss, and that is you listen to names and you listen to stories about families. And I've heard you talk about that in the past. I want you to talk about that a little bit, and then we'll get into these five conversation starters.
Yeah, so I think people, you can say all day long, and this is more employee related, but also people that we do business with, is I am just a relational person, and I get other people are not. So when I say this, I admit up front that it's easier for me, and I acknowledge that it's easier for me than it is for a lot of people. But I'm probably overly transparent. I love relationships, so it's easy for me to converse with people. It's easy for me to find some sort of common ground, but it requires not making it about yourself, but making it about the other person. And I try to do that with employees as well, to try to, because I learned a long time ago that when you go up to somebody, and I will tell you this, this just happens, these things we talk about, Tony, they come up all the time. Mm-hmm. This is not just some pie in the sky stuff, but I will tell you all the time. There was a guy in our warehouse that said he did not like another person, a senior staff member of ours, because he didn't know him by name. And so he'd go out and say, "Hey guys, how's it going?" And so when I go out there and learn their name and then I speak to them by name, even though I think that's such a tiny thing, it makes all the difference in the world, because you took the time to learn their name. You took the time to ask them about what's going on in their life and what and to show that their life matters, at least enough for you to sit there and have a conversation about it for a few minutes. And and I just simply don't appreciate enough how that makes other people feel, in part because I don't look at myself as this big CEO. You know, I really genuinely consider, I mean, I understand I'm the CEO and I understand the responsibilities that go with that, but I really kind of consider myself one of the guys.
Yeah.
And so I don't say, "Oh yeah, the CEO is coming out here to take time." I just do what I do, which is just be a relational person. But I just forget sometimes that makes all the difference in the world to somebody, as whether they're going to come in motivated the next day, or is that projection that you're caring about them. And I'm going to tell you something. I have seen people, they know the difference between when it's authentic and when you're just doing it just to do it. And so I've had great results with that. I sometimes, though, with people who employees, it's interesting, the employees that are not extroverts, that are more introverted, they're like, "I wish Michael wouldn't sit or come around and talk so much. I just want to give I just want to get my work done. Yeah. And he comes in my office and asks me what's going on. And I'm like, none of your business. I just want to get my work done and go home. So it doesn't always work, but I think the vast majority of people, it is important to show that you're interested in them, which means I ask a lot of questions about them, and I don't bring it back around to myself. And so when a general rule that I go by is that people love to talk about themselves. Yeah, and if you can just click into anything that they either know about or that they care about, then they will begin to open up all sorts of avenues and topics of discussion for you if you're just listening for it.
Now, how do we find those things out? That's what this show is all about. Michael Coleman with the Montgomery Food Bank, Mission Minded, Keep Your Mind, Your Mission, Your Mind. Of course, you can listen to the show wherever you are, your podcast are up, wherever you get your podcast. We're on every major industry at Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network or Mission Minded. And of course, you can also listen to it live on TKR. Download that TKR app. All right, so some people are really, really good. I mean, you cannot give them any information about an individual. They can walk into a room and they'll strike up a conversation because they kind of go with the flow. And like you said, much like trying to read somebody's mind like you think they can, if they listen to you intently enough and listen to the clues you give or the cues, then you can pretty much start filling in the blanks for yourself, and all of a sudden they think they have a connection with you. But social media is really, really important. And I realize a lot of people don't like social media. They want to do it on their own time. But shared passions and interests, like you just said, are really, really important. And if you have someone's name, and it's amazing because I did it with you before the show, you can Google someone's name and you can find out something about that individual. And it may not even be something you have in common with that person, but at least you have some information about that person. Maybe you know how many children they have. Maybe you knew where they used to live. Maybe you had some type of connection there. Maybe you were in the same field at one point in time, but that's super important. But talk about social media and how often you're on it.
Yeah. So lots of times if I'm going to meet with somebody and I don't have any clue who they are, and I'm just trying to get a sense of their personality or their likes or dislikes, you know, I'll look them up on social media. And sometimes LinkedIn, you know, it's very businesslike. I think it's very useful, but you're not going to get the really personal side. And so you have to go somewhere like a Facebook, to find something like that, or Instagram. But I tell you what else is I found is, lots of times, even if they're not very forthcoming, that you can, most of the time you can see who their friends are, who you have common friends with. And what I try to do is get somebody that I'm comfortable with, that I respect their opinion. And then I text them and call them and say, hey, I fixed to have a meeting with this guy. What's your impression of him? And sometimes you get some really insightful stuff that really helps you in the meeting. Not always, but what I found is really the most common thing that I've come across is that everybody, and this is a middle class thing, everybody will say, what do you do for a living? Or what do you do? And then once that you get that conversation going, then lots of times you can begin to unfurl the rest of what they do. Like, man, you do this all the time. Do you ever get away from the office? What do you do when you do get away? So that can kind of get into the hobbies and interests. So one can kind of parlay into another one. But I will tell you, it's something I've learned and I've watched other people do it. I didn't find it out on my own, but I really try to, if somebody tells me what they do, then even if it seems like the most boring, let's say they're a snail breeder, you know, yeah, something the most boring thing you could think of, I try to associate that with either something that I've heard before, like, oh, I had a friend who did something similar. Is it like this? But if you just act interested, and again, I'm not saying fake interest. I mean, because they tell, but I mean, just genuinely ask thoughtful questions. Like, wow, I had no idea that there were people who bred it. Do you sell those to restaurants? What does that look like? And what's the investment in something? And you start, and if somebody's doing that for a living, they're very likely excited about it and want to talk about it. And then for long, even if we're just talking for 10 minutes, 9 of it, he's been talking about snail farming. And you leave there, even if that's our only interaction, he's going to leave there going, hey, that's a pretty good guy. And so it just lays the groundwork for future business relationships or personal relationships or wherever you are in your community. It could be church, it could be otherwise. If you ask other people about themselves and just let them start talking, and then you start asking questions to expand what they're talking about, questions of interest, you almost always can form a relationship from there.
We're always trying to find some common ground, because when we have common ground, then we feel like we actually know this person. At least according to this article that I pulled up here from Forbes, they talk about your favorite neighborhood hangout slash restaurant and or your favorite team. That perhaps, because everyone's got a favorite team, period. And just because they're living here in Birmingham doesn't mean they couldn't perhaps be a Green Bay Packer fan because they used to live there. Maybe they have family there. I've got people that live up in Columbus, Ohio, and out there in California. Talk about just, I mean, and sometimes talk about that first. Then I want to talk about, you know, just topical things, things that are in the news right now. But just talk about that part, because everyone's got a passion for a sports team, and they usually have passion for one of their favorite restaurants.
Yeah, so here's one of the mistakes that I see when people do that. So for our listeners who aren't from the Alabama area, when you grow up here, you typically are made to choose a team, Alabama or Auburn.
Yes.
And, I mean, you and your friends, you'll find this, it's incredible peer pressure to pick one or the other. And then when you do that, you've chosen sides for life. I mean, you will have not real enemies, but people you'll go back and forth with for the rest of your life on that. So it's really a big deal. Now, what I have found is even when people are on the other side and they love, so I grew up an Alabama fan, even though I'm the black sheep of the family. All my daughter went to Auburn, my father, my grandfather, my great grandfather, they all went to Auburn. I'm the black sheep of the family as an Alabama fan. But I have found that even when I'm dealing with the most diehard Auburn fans, I don't, and I'm trying to build a relationship. What I try to, you can find common ground. Like, man, I was looking at Auburn's schedule this year. That looks like a tough schedule. Or, hey, I've noticed they have a pretty good recruiting class. Or I even asked, do you follow recruiting much? What do you think this year is going to look like? So it's not, hey, Auburn sucks, Alabama's going to roll y'all. It's not that, or you, because people are so sensitive about certain topics like that.
Yes.
But you're even build a relationship because you're just engaging them. You're saying, I want your opinion on this subject. And then some people come out and go, yeah, I really don't follow it. I don't know. I said, oh yeah, you're not really into it. And then I turn, you know, that's my feedback is he or she doesn't have a lot to say about that. So then I try to, oh, do you follow other sports than Auburn? Do you go to the campus much? Do you have kids? And eventually you find something that ties into what they do. And then I dig back into the questions again. I will tell you I've had people who are around me. They're like, damn, you like the Riddler. And I said, I get it. It can come across as annoying, and that's really, I don't want to take it to that far to where I'm just peppering them with questions. But again, I'm finding out what interests them and then engaging them. And I have found, you know, the vast majority of the time people then start beginning to communicate about other things. But you just have to find what's that avenue. It may be a work. It may be a sports team. Like you said, it may be a hobby. Like if you meet out on the golf course, you already know that person's interested in golf, and you can start there, build out from there. But you can almost take any topic or any area and use it to begin to build out a relationship. And I think as I go back and repeat myself, it's much easier for me to sit here and do it. I know people who are painfully introverted, and the idea of doing that is exhausting to them. All they want to do is talk about what's necessary and then retreat back outside of and to not have to just sit there and engage in meaningless conversation. But relationship building in business is everything.
Yeah, it really is. He's Michael Coleman. He is the CEO of the Montgomery Area Food Bank. You can hear this show at least 5 days a week on the TKR app. Thanks to the 100,000 folks who download the app. And of course, wherever you get your podcast, Tony Curry Radio Podcast. All right, so Michael, back in our day, the three things we never talked about were sex, politics, and religion. And now it's almost impossible not to get into some type of conversation, eventually with someone, about one of those three things. Talk about how important it is when you first meet somebody, and let's say this is purely business. Maybe you're talking to someone that wants to donate $100,000 to the Montgomery Area Food Bank, and you're sitting down with them, but they are pretty much leaning the conversation the way they want it, whether it's about gun violence or abortion rights or the vaccination or COVID or politics, some big topic that is out there that really everyone's talking about it. Social media is blowing up about it. But you really feel like you don't want to go there. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with someone that brings that up? I recently met with a client, and they were a huge Trump supporter, and it didn't take 5 minutes while we were sitting there having a plate of barbecue. He started going off about Trump and, of course, the 2024 election. And I was like, and I had to play along. I tried to stay down the middle of the road. But you could tell this person had a fever for the flavor of Donald Trump. How do you deal with, how do you deal with that?
Well, I've talked about this on previous shows. It, as a nonprofit, you have people who support you on the left and support you on the right. And while I have political thoughts and political opinions, my job is to be the leader of the Montgomery Food Bank and do what's in the best interest of the food bank. And my personal politics should not play into that, because if I went around espousing my true feelings, I'm, no matter where I land on the spectrum, I'm going to alienate somebody. And my function is to bring people together to support the work, because I don't want to politicize hunger and food insecurity. Now, issues come up all the time. So let's play out that scenario a little bit with the SNAP, because it, people on the right who say there's too much government waste, people are lazy, they don't want to work, you're giving out SNAP, it's a waste of government tax dollars, on and on and on. And so that's their thought. And then you have people on the left that go, we should be promoting SNAP, we should be doing more for SNAP, on and on and on and on. SNAP is vital. So regardless of who I'm listening to, what I try to remember is what my function is. And I do have lines that I will not cross, like, if it crosses a value with me. So for instance, let's say that somebody is misinformed and they're espousing their feelings about the wastefulness of SNAP. And I say, yeah, there is a lot of, you know, I've tried to find places where I agree. Yes, there are a lot of waste. Any government program typically has a lot of waste, no doubt whatsoever. And then they, you know, they will say, and we have, you know, we're too much tax dollars and all this. Yeah. And they say, and then they might say something like, see, everybody on SNAP, nobody wants to work. And I go, well, you know, at that point, that's a statement slamming people. Or let me just say, they're painting with a broad brush. Mm-hmm. And what I try to do is come back in a way that push that informs the person I'm talking to without having an antagonistic discussion. So I will say things along the line of this. Well, it's certainly true of some people, but let me tell you some of the things I've found out since I've been in food banking. And I'll give them a couple of anecdotes that doesn't tell them they have to think this way, but just says it's another perspective. And vice versa, I'll have people on the left who say, well, people on the right, just they don't care about starving kids that way. You know, it's not that they want to do starving kids, but they honestly think their value system is in how money's managed, and they see all this waste. And what they have trouble sometimes seeing is putting a face, like a hungry child, to that, like, the hungry child or the hungry senior gets caught up in this political argument. It's not that there's not good, thoughtful arguments on each side. The problem is those who get caught up in the argument, who don't receive the services that they authentically need and what the program is designed for. So I'm trying to not inject Michael Coleman into the discussion. I've had people who've stood there and say, I love Donald Trump. He's the best president of the world. And I go, okay. And then they turn around and go, and then somebody goes, I love Joe Biden. He's the best president of the world. And I go, okay. Because for me to inject my own personal opinion brings no value and doesn't help any. These people are already convinced. What I have found is, though, that sometimes I'll have people come along and you don't know what political persuasion they're from. I had a guy come in, an older guy, so interesting. He was testing me.
Yes. Yes. This is what I was going to ask you next. Go, baby. I love this. I love this. This is great. Go ahead.
Yeah. He was testing me. So he goes, well, what do you think about these people who drive up in Cadillacs and to food pantries and all this kind of stuff? And that's where I was faced with, okay, it sounds like he's coming from a more radical right position. Mm-hmm. Like he's ready to tear into me about people abusing the pantry system. And I said, well, it is true that some people do abuse it, but let me give you an example. And so I walked him through a scenario where a husband and wife had the Cadillac. They had worked both their whole life, but one had gotten sick, the other had to, and had life care, like hospice care. The other one, or had in-home care. They couldn't afford that. The husband had to quit, sit home, take care of his wife. But they had worked their whole lives, and they did have a Cadillac. But now they find themselves coming up short, and they come to the food pantry. And so I gave him that scenario to say, well, here's a different perspective. What you say may be true in certain cases, but here's just another perspective. And he goes, well, I'm glad you told me that, because I was wondering where you were going to land on. Like, he was testing me to see if he came at me from what he was classifying as a far right position, would I just give in to him? And I actually won some points by saying, no, that's too far. My values have to cause me to step up, but not in a way that's in your face, poking you in the chest, saying you're an idiot, anything like that. It's, you have this perspective. Let me see if I can introduce you to a different perspective and just plant that seed in your heart and see where that goes.
That is very, very good. You know, it's, you bring up an interesting point too, in that sometimes I have been tested as well, in several cases. And I feel like, okay, I've got to go one way or the other. And normally I'll back it up. I'll go, well, let me just tell you what I do. Let me just tell you how I do things here. Yeah. And then kind of let them. And normally, again, they'll give you a couple of cues to kind of which way they're kind of going, because I am kind of down the middle. I think a lot of people in this country are kind of down the middle. And I think it's important to do that. All right. I only got a couple minutes left. And finally, the last one was just about mutual acquaintances. And that's always super big. I mean, obviously, to find out their favorite restaurant, their favorite sports teams, and you can certainly do that through social media. Are you a name dropper, or what do you think about people who are name droppers?
Well, it all depends. If somebody has opened up a door for me, I usually ask for permission. Like, hey, is it okay when I'm talking with this person, you're telling me to go talk to them? Is it okay if I say that you and I talked and you gave me their name? And they say yes, and I'm all for that. I don't think I don't like to make a habit as if I'm trying to build up my own importance. I think that's where we get I think it comes across as self-serving. So if I'm having a conversation with somebody of political influence or somebody that's just a community leader, now I may come back and report that to my staff, because serious people do serious things. And I want them to know, you know, we had a serious discussion about something. But I don't think it helps. I don't like people who try to build their own worth based on the coattails of other people that they may meet or greet for 5 or 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You either are somebody of substance with something that's substantive to say, or you come across in a fake way. And I just don't want to be that guy.
There you go. You never fake with us right here on Mission Minded. He's Michael Coleman, the Montgomery Food Bank. Tell people how they can find you. And then if you don't mind, just briefly speak about the new show we're going to be doing.
Yeah, real excited about this new show. So
Me
we're
too.
gonna do, we're gonna do something, and people may say, "What in the world are you gonna do related to food banking?" You would be amazed at all the issues that come into food banking. So not only how there's a whole network across the entire United States that sources food that saves billions of dollars, billions of pounds of food from unnecessarily going into landfills every year. There's a huge network through Feeding America where we are. There are 60 million people who stood in line after COVID or during COVID. And so the demand is just so much, and we're trying to educate people on all the issues surrounding it, not from a political standpoint, but to talk about why is it so many, why is it, how did we get to where 60 million Americans in this wealthy country? How did 60 million Americans end up standing in a food line? What are the issues? What are the challenges? What do we see on the ground? What are some of the solutions? What does it take? What are political leaders? So we may get into, try not to make political discussions, but the Farm Bill comes around every 5 years, and we're in that year of the Farm Bill. But we want to talk to local leaders. We want to talk about food insecurity. We want to talk about what we do here and what other national leaders do in food banking. There's just so much to talk about to inform the public, but we just want to do it in a little bite size. This is going to be a little different. We're going to do 15 to 20 minute episodes, just something you can munch on in the car from the time you leave home to the time you get to work, and just to educate the public and help them better understand what's being done in their communities. To help those struggling with hunger and food
And
insecurity. And I'm really excited about it.
let me just say this too, because I am so glad that you had me come in and let me be part of your circle and be so inclusive with me. I came down and looked at your facility in Montgomery several weeks ago, and I didn't know what to expect. One of the nicest facilities I've ever seen. Now, I haven't gone out or looked at food pantries or anything else around this country. And certainly we raise food and awareness, at a lot of churches that are considered agencies here. But I just was amazed by the freshness of everything, by what people had to choose from. Let me put it this way. I think there's a lot of people out there that think that if you're socially economically challenged, that you're not eating the same types of food we like to eat. I got news for you. The food at your place, it made me hungry walking through the Montgomery Food Bank. It's just done top notch. So I can't wait to do this, man. But thank you so much. Hey, I appreciate you, and have yourself a wonderful week. We'll catch up next week here on Mission Minded.
Thanks, Tony. I look forward to it.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.